Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. This is an interview for the Brickyard Workers Oral History Project. The date is April 3rd, 2009, and we're at Moore & Brick Company in Auburn, Maine. This is Andrea Lumjia, and today I am interviewing Armin Turcotte.
Yes.
Could you start just by giving me your full name?
Armin Turcotte.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in Lewiston, Maine in 1952.
And is that where you grew up?
Yes. Well, I grew up in Auburn.
In Auburn.
Yep.
And what were your parents' names?
My mother's was May. My father's was Raymond. My mother was a shoe worker, and my father was a truck driver.
Okay. So the shoe industry was important to your family as well. Do you remember what she did in the shoe shops?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Yes.
Now, did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two sisters. That's it.
And so, what was Auburn like when you were growing up in the 50s and 60s?
Small.
Yeah.
Compared to what it is now.
Yeah. What part of Auburn did you live?
Right on the hotel road.
Okay. Was that even more rural than it is now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no businesses out there at all then.
Were there other families that lived nearby? What sort of things did you do as a kid growing up? Did you have lots of fields and woods to play in, or?
A lot of fields, a lot of woods, a lot of brooks, a lot of fishing. It was real good, real good.
And what schools did you go to?
I went to Walton, Fairview, Walton, Edward Little.
And what was downtown Auburn like then? Did you go there often?
Once in a while.
Yeah. Where did people shop for groceries and things like that when you were growing up?
You had Orphans on Minot Avenue. All the clothes and stuff was Kresge's. Another one that was on Park Street. I don't remember the name now.
Was Peck still there?
Yes, Peck was there. Yep.
So you go to Lewiston to do shopping?
Yep.
Now, at what age did you start working in the brickyards?
I started down here 22.
So was that your first job?
No.
Well, tell me about what you first did. Were you still in high school when you started working?
No. Yes, I worked construction for a few years. Then I worked at Pioneer Plastics, a couple shoe shops. And I started down here in the early 70s. Been here ever since.
So you've been here your whole career?
Yep.
Now, what did you do when you first started? And sort of, I want to ask that question. I also want to get a sense of how this brickyard has changed over the years.
When I first started here, we was rototilling clay. We had a dry clay product at the time. And we would rototill the clay on the clay bank. And we would let it dry. Then we'd haul it in, put it in a pit, let it soak overnight, and make brick the next day with it.
And was it still a manual process then?
Yes. Yes, it was.
And so that was your piece of it. Did you go on to do other pieces of the brick making?
I manufactured brick a little. And then in the early fall when we got done making, I came down into the old yard and worked as a fireman on the kiln.
And where was that old yard?
Well, before you come to the new plant, there's an old steel building over there. That was the old yard.
Okay. So brick making still wasn't a year-round process?
No, it wasn't.
And your work was mostly done outside?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so when did it change?
I would 79 when we built this new plant here, and everything's on the inside now.
Yeah. And how did the brick making techniques change as well?
Well, we went from actually labor intensive to actually less physical labor, more modernization, more conveyor belts, less handling of the brick.
Yeah. Is it still as physically demanding, but not?
No. You have a couple jobs that are still physically demanding. Yeah. You have a bundling job, and you have a setting job. Other than that, most of it is completely automatic.
Are there other people that you worked with starting in the early 70s who had been in brick making from the old days, I guess I'd call it?
Yes.
Can you talk about them a little bit? Because a lot of them we can't interview.
Well, a lot of the elderly gentlemen that I started working with were saying that they would start at 4 o'clock in the morning. They had to shovel clay out of a pit into a machine, and they would make a brick manually on that machine. I think you people have the machine in the museum. I'm not positive, but I think you do. And that was one of the first manual machines they had, making brick. Hmm. And it was all seasonal back then, too. And it was real hard work, from what I've been told, real physical. Even more compared to when I started here.
Mm-hmm. Were there any particular individuals who are considered, I don't know if legendary is the word, but were there any that people talked about? Or just...
My supervisor, Dave Chamberlain, when I started here, was a brickmaker. And he was an excellent brickmaker, I have been told over the years. A great guy to work with. So.
And did you know any of the Morin family?
No, I did not. No. They were all gone by the time I got here. Yeah.
Do you have any stories about your time working in the brickyard? Are there anything that you can recall?
I can recall a hot summer day. We used to have two brick machines opposite each other, side by side, and hot afternoon, they'd be almost done. One crew would start throwing mud at the other crew, and then you had a free-for-all, and everybody was covered with mud, and the supervisor, Dave Chamberlain, would come out and start yelling and screaming, and it was all over. Nobody got hurt, and everybody was just covered with mud.
And did it cool you off?
No, not really. Not really.
Are there things I haven't asked you about in the brick making that you think is important to add? Are there any techniques or things that you did in making the bricks that you think would be important to talk about for other people to learn?
Other than the bricks that they used to make handmade. Mm-hmm. Everybody said they're a lot better looking brick than a machine made brick.
And why is that?
I would say the way the brick itself was made, the way it was dumped out of a mold and put on a pallet. Mm-hmm. I think it was a lot more care.
Yeah. And was a difference in color?
From what we have now to the old Schofield, probably there was a little. Yeah. Not by much.
So what's the process now? It goes into a big machine to cook?
It goes into we used to have a Schoven kiln. It was a pile of brick you piled up. You put brick on the outside and you used to mud it. Then you used to have arches. And you used to use wood and oil to fire the brick. Mm-hmm. And after a period of 15 days, the brick were fired, and then you had to take all the outside of the brick off, the Schoven, to pick the brick, to get the brick to the jobs. Now, the brick are set on kill cars. They're dried and fired within a week. So it's a lot quicker now.
Yeah. Now, are there any, after this more brickyard went with the technology to make it more automatic than manual, were there still others that you know of, little brickyards around that
yes,
were doing it?
Yes, there was. Yeah. There was Royal River in Yarmouth. They was making water-struck brick. There used to be Dennis Brick right here in Auburn on Brickyard Circle. That's it, right, as far as I know, was when we were running, when I started here.
Right. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think we should add?
Not that I can think of.
Now, you mentioned, before we end, you mentioned your dad was a truck driver.
Yes.
Did he work for a company or was he independent?
Worked for a company.
Yeah. And did that take him, where did that take him?
Mostly just me.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. Back then, the trucking industry was regulated and you had certain areas you could haul freight. Now, you can haul freight anywhere.
Right.
So.
And your parents' parents, did they come from Lewiston, Auburn area, or had they come from somewhere else?
Canada.
I think that's all the questions I had. Thank you very much.
Thank you.